Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit Whole Foods Market.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Short and hot with Chef Family. Short and hot with Chef Family.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, coming to you live on Heritage Radio Network. This is episode 75. I'm pretty sure I said it was episode 75 last week, but I went back and checked, and this is episode 75. So fanfare today, less so last week.
Okay.
My producer's joining me in the studio, Ann Hogan. Hi, Ann.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How was your St. Patrick's Day?
It was good.
Was it everything you hoped it would be?
You know, it was actually very fun, and I'm super happy that I made it happen. I went out to my mom's, and it was actually really funny. Our food-related adventure had nothing to do with Irish heritage whatsoever. My mother said, well, you know what? I'm ordering a pizza. Forget it. I'm not going to do it. So we had pizza and beer. There was lots of Guinness, and I did fun Ann Hogan fact. I Irish step danced for like forever.
Like competitively?
Yeah.
Are there videos of this?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have homework.
No, but this is like before dawn of the internet, so I'm safe. But yeah, no.
Are
I,
you
like,
sure?
Full on like costume. Like,
so you know Nice
yeah.
Peter, who wrote the theme song for
this
show.
Yeah.
Very good friend of my husband's. They went to school together. Mm-hmm. He's now like super YouTube famous star. Started out in Irish folk dancing. You may have crossed paths with Peter.
Who knows?
Pete Chukoff, big
oh
fan.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to have to check this out.
He still talks about it so fondly. So did you step dance at home?
Yeah, so after a couple of Guinnesses.
I was going to say, how many Guinnesses?
Yeah, mom and dad were like, I'm right. You know, so it was good, yeah. But it was fun. It was very low-key.
That's hilarious.
But very fun.
Awesome. I taught last Tuesday night after class, and half my class was absent. And I looked around and I was like, Tuesday nights has been notoriously snowy. And so
right.
I haven't. And then there's no one there and it's not snowing. And my students were like, oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. Everybody's been drinking all day. I'm like, oh,
right.
Because you're still undergraduates. And that's a thing that you do on a Tuesday. No, we did not do anything particularly special for St. Patrick's Day. And I have to say, I went to meet with my accountant this week because
right. It
is tax time. And my goal this year, my goal is to have my taxes submitted by April 15th. And if I do that, we're going to get the car detailed.
All right.
So we're like doing a psychological, and it was so funny. I do this a lot. Like I'll make a list of everything we have to do, including fun things.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode of Freakonomics recently that was all about that, like game theorying your own life. So for me, it's like, if I can get my taxes done, then we're going to take the new car in to get detailed because it's got Cheerios and shit in the seats already.
Nice.
So I go and meet with my accountant, who is a member of the Heritage Radio Network family.
Yes.
Joanne Flash Flemings. She's like having Carmela Soprano for your accountant.
Amazing. Nothing wrong with it.
She pointed out that we spend a lot of money on wine. So I was like, well, I'm in the business. Like, it's research. And and she's like, are you researching the same bottle every night? Because that's not research. I can't write that off. So we have been trying. We are doing a like not heavy drink, like just being mindful of it, because both my husband and I thoroughly enjoy the beer. We enjoy the wine, the cocktails occasionally, but it's very easy to like kick back with a bottle of wine in our house.
Yeah, sure.
And Joanne was like, every night?
You're like, that's not research, honey.
I was like, you're not doing that every night? I don't understand. So we've been on a little bit of a dry kick just to prove to ourselves that we can.
Okay,
And I think that these two things are directly related. I have some kind of like flu-y, symptom-y thing. And I don't know what's happening. And I don't feel hot. So if I said to my NYU students this morning, if I'm not at the top of my enthusiasm game, it is not any indication of them. It is that I'm like trying not to feel ill.
I'm sorry.
So, well, I'm pretty sure that if I could have a glass of wine, I would feel much better. But.
Right? Isn't that weird?
But actually, you know what? That's not true. That's how I know I'm sick, is that I don't actually want a glass of wine right now.
Okay.
Which there are... That almost never comes out of my mouth.
Never
I'm pretty sure I could always come up with a reason to have a glass of wine. But yeah, so I'm like... Oh, so also, I don't know if you guys saw on Instagram, I bought We bought our son the castle bed from IKEA.
I did see the castle bed from IKEA.
It's adorable. Yes. It's so cute. And since before he started preschool on Fridays, he and I would go to IKEA together, have meatballs, and watch the airplanes land at the IKEA in Elizabeth.
Like you do.
So, because he's, you know, and nobody's there but moms on a Friday afternoon. Everybody, mm-hmm. the kids can all run around, jump on the beds. And he's been obsessed with this castle bed.
Okay.
So he won't sleep in his own bed at all. Like, he's been between us pretty much since the day we brought him home from the hospital. Now we have a queen size bed and a very large toddler, mm-hmm. and I've been getting kicked in the face in the middle of the night. Like, in my dream, it's like I've been hit by a skateboard, and then I realize, no, it's just my child who's a full-sized human now. So we bought him this castle bed, thinking we'll throw some money at the problem, get him into the castle bed, which worked for, on the first night, about 15 minutes. So there's that. And the second night, he said, I want to go to bed. And we put him to bed, and he slept through the night.
Okay.
And we were like, okay, this Progress. Is working. So last night, Mark blew up the camping mattress that we have and put a couch cushion on top of that. Because if I sleep in the room with him, uh-huh. I'm condensing the story a little bit. But if I sleep in the room with him, if he wakes up and I can just say, shh, I'm right here, he'll go right back to sleep.
Okay. So he like,
if
like,
I'm down
worried.
The hall. Then not. So I also have not been getting a whole lot of sleep. So I'm like, it's still 30 degrees outside. I have not been getting a whole lot of sleep. My kid is, you know, God love him, independently minded. And so
fair enough. It'll serve him well one day.
And I can't be drinking wine every night of the week, apparently. So
yeah, I think everyone is just ready. It's just like you walk out of your house and like you're trying to not be that guy that's like complaining about the weather. We're all cold. But it's like, come on, man.
Yep. Like, I feel pretty like I don't complain about the weather. And I've said to my husband, who works outside, like, it's a waste of energy to complain about the weather. Like, you really. But God, please let this stop. It just sucks.
At least we're all in it together. I don't know. Be nice to each other or something.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, I hate all of my winter coats. I just want to, like, throw them all in a bonfire at the when it's finally warm.
Well, that's so Amanda, my partner, she has moved on to the non-winter jacket, like the spring jacket.
Just like on principle,
she's like, I can't put it back on. I can't put it back on. So she's freezing. Like every time we go anywhere, she's just like, she's freezing now. So, but she's like, I'm living it out. That's it. I don't care.
I left the house in just the hoodie the other day. I'm that same, like, I'm going outside. And I was freezing and miserable, but I wouldn't say anything out loud. My husband was like, are you cold? I was like, no.
Nope. I'm just fine. Thank you.
Fine. So in preparation for spring, I started my seeds this weekend. Yay. And I'm very excited. I have about 50 seeds to plant, eight of which I've started, because you there are certain things like peppers that you want to extend the growing season as much as possible, okay. because they want to grow in much hotter climates with longer growing seasons, right. So you start them under some grow lights in the house. And you give them a 4 to 6 week head start before you put them outside in the garden.
Okay.
And so I didn't do it last year because James was one and it was undoable. But 2 years ago, I had like a whole system. Like I really thought like I might go into seed propagation. Like I really enjoyed it. Like it was, because the way that you start them is you just fill a container. And like I use the clamshells that salad comes in, like your arugula container.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Put a little bit of soil starting mix in the bottom and then just sprinkle some seeds on top. Water it. And then they'll sprout, and then you pick the most viable plants from that container and put them in the like individual cells that we know from the garden center. And now they're gone. And I have to say, like, I was really hoping that getting the seed started was going to snap me out of my hatred of the cold weather, and that not even that helped.
No, you're just still pissed.
I'm still pissed about it. There are grackles, which is a type of bird that come to the bird feeder, and they are harbingers of spring, and they're huge and they're loud and they're beautiful. They're black with blue heads. They're really impressive looking. Oh, wow. And they look fucking cold. They're just at the ground. Like, what? You guys, we miscalculated this trip. So it's everybody's in it.
Everyone's just like giving a finger.
Everybody's
like,
in the finger. F this. Yep. My husband's back at work. So his company closes for the wintertime because they don't do snow removal.
Okay.
And so they're back at work. His boss is like super enthusiastic. I love his boss to death. He's one of my favorite human beings. And Mark is like his boss will say, all right, so you're going to go down to this client's house, just tear out the ornamental cabbages, and we'll just, like, get it ready to plant some spring flowers.
Okay.
And Mark has to be the person who's like, you realize it's under 4 inches of packed ice, right? Which, like, I'm the boss in this scenario, and, like, I try to, like, give Mark the boss point of view. Like, maybe he just wants you to say, yes, sir. Like, just go down there and enthusiastically say, yep. And then I don't either lie or, like, just chip that ice with all the gusto you can muster.
I don't know, man. I don't – that's, like, a lot. I punched myself in the face with a shovel trying to get, like, ice. I know. Why do I always start a story like that? Like, it doesn't even, like, make sense. But I was trying to get, like, my mom's car, like, was packed in ice, and I was trying to chip it out. And you can really hurt yourself. Yeah, I'm still in pain. It's, like, 2 months ago, and there's, like, some internal bruising going on in the jawline.
Because, like, on the back pull, you just, like, whacked yourself?
I don't know, because I'm Ann Hogan, and I'm, like, very – like, I'm just – I'm clumsy. Like, I just am. Like, I'm kind of, like, wanting to, like, walk into a wall. Mm-hmm. Just, like, whoop. Like, didn't see it. But anyway, yeah. So, I punched myself right in the jaw with the shovel. So, Mark, be careful.
Be careful.
Don't punch that ice.
I'm going to – we have to take a quick break, but I want to tell you one quick aside before we do. We went to a fundraiser for the Mars County Democratic Party. I'm considering a run for the local town council.
Are you really?
I am.
Like, legit?
Like, legit. Because I'm one of those people who enjoyed being on student council as a kid. I thought I was going to be a representative when I was in high school. I, like, did a whole trip down to Washington, D.C. And, like, I really thought, like, this is the path my life is. Took 20 years to get back around, but they need somebody, and I, you know, want to, there to be more sidewalks. So it's an outside possibility. But anyway, we went to a fundraiser at this, like... Thank you. At this country club. And James, who doesn't understand comedy yet in the same way that I mean, some things he finds very funny. He walked, like, face into a glass wall. And my reaction was to crack up. And
he just cried.
Oh, he just cried. Oh, and he was, like, stunned. But it was, like, in a movie. It was like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
I cracked up. And the coat check lady behind me was like, oh, that poor baby.
Oh,
and I
realized, it'll build his character.
Having your mother laugh at you is an important character growth thing.
It's true. To me, my whole childhood life, fall off a bicycle, my sister would just, like, crack up, hit your head. Yeah. It makes you strong, tougher inside. There you go, James.
What are you doing on Monday, March 30th? Do you know? Do you have plans?
Well, Monday, March 30th is that's when I practice with one of my improv groups. So, yeah.
Well, if you don't have plans on Monday, March 30th, there is a fundraiser for Heritage Radio Network.
Oh yes, I heard about this.
You heard about
this? Yeah. I will definitely be taking part in some way, even if I'm not there. But go ahead. Sorry.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there. Leyte Sue's birthday. She is the host of the Word of Mouth on Heritage Radio Network, and she throws this benefit birthday party every year, and she's going to give the proceeds to Heritage Radio Network. So the theme of this party is that you get to eat the staff meals from all of these restaurants from all over the city. So
yeah, very cool. Very
the
cool.
Chef of Alanda is going to be there, and the Chef of Mart is going to be there. Elizabeth Faulkner, who is from Women Chef and Restaurateurs, is going to be there. Sam Mason from Oddfellows Ice Cream Company will be there. There's going to be a huge cocktail and beverage thing happening. Our friends at Martin Miller Gin are going to sponsor. So there will be lots of wine. Lots of spirits. Tickets are available. I'm on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm going to put a link up on sharpenhot.com. But if you are free, it's going to be really fun. And it's going to be like, you'll get to meet the other people who are listening to
this
show.
So cool. Yeah, that sounds like maybe like shift around the plans, kind of a, like, try and make that happen. Yeah, that sounds great.
We got
and there's like raffle tickets and stuff like that too.
There's raffle tickets. It's going to be a whole thing. It's going to be fun.
Very cool.
So website, heritageradionetwork.org. We will tweet out a link. Maybe we'll do that during the break. And when we come back, we will have on with us Katrina Blair, author of The Wild Wisdom of Weeds.
All right.
Has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, coming to you live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This is episode number 75. I want to give a shout out to some of the folks who have made the finalist list for the James Beard Awards. On episode 58, we had Christian Puglisi on. His book, Reale, had made the final cut. And Food Chains, the film, is a finalist. They were here on episode number 60. And our very own Dave Arnold is a finalist. So congratulations to those guys. There's a lot of friends on that list, and I'm super proud of everybody, and I hope everybody wins. Even though that's a thing that can't happen, I really hope the best for all of them. So let's get to the guest today. Katrina Blair, who has written The Wild Wisdom of Weeds, is joining us, I believe, all the way from Colorado. Is that right?
That's right. Thank you so much for having me with you.
I'm so excited to have you on. So I want to start this segment, if it's okay with you, playing a listener question that came in. I tweeted out that you were going to be on the show, and somebody left a voicemail to give us a question to start on, if that works for you.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, Jack, can you play that?
Hi, this is Mark from New Jersey. And I saw on Twitter that you're having a weed expert on your show tomorrow, and I was interested to know what her thoughts on how she defines what a weed is. I was always taught that it's any plant growing where you don't want it, but I'm interested to hear what she has to say about it. So, build the show, and can't wait to hear the episode. Have a good day.
So I wanted to start that question because I have the same one. How do you define a weed?
Oh, that's a great question. So I grew up in Durango, Colorado, and there was a little wooden plaque in my bathroom at my parents' house that every day I would go and visit multiple times, and I would meditate, and there was, on this little plaque was the question, what is a weed? And then below is a quote by Emerson that says, a weed is a plant whose virtues have yet been discovered. So that's his definition, but now, after studying weed so in-depthly my life, I have changed the definition to a weed is a plant whose virtues are celebrated across the globe.
So were your parents into this same kind of research? How did that plaque come to be in your childhood bathroom?
That is a great question. I'm going to have to ask my mom. I don't know how it came to be there. But yeah, my dad's a geologist and my mom was a nutritionist. And before I learned to walk, we were out in the Teton National Park camping out as a family. So we were definitely connected to the wild early on.
I love that. We took my son camping for the first time when he was about 6 weeks old. No, 6 months old. He was about 6 months old.
And perfect.
It was really great. And we're going again in a couple of weeks. I just love being outside with that kid. So
yeah.
I want to talk to you about dandelions specifically. I live on a small family farm in New Jersey. And the first year that we were cultivating the garden, which is about a quarter of an acre, I was like on a mission to pull the dandelions out, because that was sort of like my mentality was, if there's dandelions in the garden, then somehow the garden is messy. And I started doing some reading, and what I have come to realize is that dandelions are actually incredibly beneficial for the habitat of the other plants around them. And I'm wondering if you can, is that true or false? Should I leave them be, or should I be weeding them out?
It is true, and the reason why it's true, there's lots of reasons, but one of them is they have deep tap roots and help break up the compacted soil, and so they end up aerating the soil. And then they also are perennials, and so they'll end up pulling up nutrients and redepositing it back into the topsoil after they compost year after year and rebuild the fertility of the soil. So those are two great points, and then some of the older plants, the ones that can come up first, like the dandelion, they end up holding water and moisture in the area so that when, you know, the young seedlings that you might be planting don't dry out by having these sort of nursemaid plants around. And then, of course, they also just attract an amazing amount of pollinators.
So is there any plant that it would be an antagonizer to, or is it beneficial to everybody?
Well, it's beneficial, but, of course, there's only, you know, you may want to give whatever you planted some space at some point. And so at some point, there may be a time when, well, okay, I want this other plant to get bigger, so I'm going to harvest the dandelion for my supper and give it space. And there may be a time when it just feels like that's the right time to harvest it, but then you've got this extra food, this extra crop that you didn't even have to grow.
So what can we do? I'm particularly fascinated with the dandelion root. I know that you can eat the leaves like you can eat wild, you know, like you could eat baby spinach or kale. Yeah. And we could talk more specifically about that for the listeners. But I have to confess, a little bit intimidated by the dandelion root, even though I've heard that it's delicious and really healthful.
Yeah, so what we do here in Durango is we have a dandelion festival, and Turtle Lake Refuge, which is my nonprofit, we host it every year. So it's coming up May 2nd. And we harvest all these, like really 20 to 40 pounds of dandelions, and we use the root and the greens and the flowers and the stems, really all parts of it. And we give it to our local breweries, and there's 6 local breweries in Durango. And we have a small town, but we all like drinking beer. So anyway, so they end up brewing dandelion beer for the festival. And so that's one use. Certainly you could make dandelion beer. But I also just like to dig up the roots and dry them. And then I'll add it, like I'll make a chicory or a dandelion root chai tea. But it could be just as simple as even just dried dandelions with water on top.
Okay.
Just simple dandelion root tea, and it's just the roots dried. And it is the most delicious bitter, you know, kind of like a morning coffee, but it's this bitter drink that stimulates energy, and it stimulates sort of the morning elimination, and it's just an amazing drink.
So tell me more about Turtle Lake.
Okay, so Turtle Lake Refuge, it's a nonprofit that... Our mission is to celebrate the connection between personal health and wild lands. And so we do this by teaching about sustainable practices, and such as we have a bicycle blender and bicycle juicer. We pedal down to the farmer's market and sell our wild harvested goodies. We also have a 2-acre farm that's part of it, a community farm. And we have a cafe, a wild local living food cafe that we serve lunch to the community a couple times a week and do a lot of education around utilizing our local food that's wild and homegrown. And then a huge component of organic land stewardship practices. And so we're shifting all of our, step by step, but the goal is to shift all of our public parks in Durango to organically being managed. And we've successfully are at a third of the parks now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's real. I mean, I feel like I love Colorado. I've only been there once, but if it wasn't so far away from the ocean, I think my husband and I would have picked up and moved there because we just loved the sort of sensibility of all the people who are like, yeah, this should be organic. Like, it was a no-brainer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not so straightforward always. We've had to work for the last 10 years on kind of water torture treatment with our city to shift
right.
to shift the practices, but we're not going away, and you know, it's almost by holding steady things will change.
So you have a new book out called The Wild Wisdom of Weeds, and it's broken up to talk about these 13 different global survival plants. And survival plants on the back of the book is in quotes, and I'm curious to know if you would tell me what you mean by survival plants.
Well, the beautiful thing about these 13 plants is that they are very resilient, so they know how to survive. They can grow in inhospitable conditions, so high altitude, right sea level, really hot or cold climates, and dry and wet, so they're really adaptable. And that makes them very available to humanity across the globe, which then brings us to a survivability of the human species, that were some of our systems to break down or some of our food pathways that we grow on an agricultural level to break down, these wild plants, these 13 wild plants, are very available for our own survival because they have complete proteins and, you know, they just have the nutrients we need to live.
I have purslane, which you talk about in your book, everywhere in our yard. And I feel so lucky. And I know, like, in the New York City farmers market, you can buy it, and it's very expensive. And my husband and I have joked that we could probably retire early and just sell purslane from between our pool pavers. Because we don't use any, you know, nothing sprayed. It's not certified organic, but we don't do anything to, remediate the weeds with chemicals. But I read a some farmer jokes that it was like, if you don't like the purslane, like the seeds stay viable in the soil for like 23 years. And it was like, if you don't like the purslane, then you should just find a new garden.
Exactly. They're not going to go away.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing about these weeds is that they're really not going to go away. Even when we spray huge amounts of herbicides on them, they come back every single year.
Right.
And so that obviously doesn't work. So to befriend them and realize how valuable they are, all of a sudden we have this immense resource.
That is like a allegory for life.
Right.
If we could just befriend the things that aren't going to go away, things would be so much easier. So let me ask you a personal question. Does it ever get too old to eat? Like, I know that we eat it when it's like the little delicate shoots, but later on in the summer, and I think this comes from having parents who like put the fear of God into my brother and I about eating anything out of the woods. Like, we weren't allowed to touch anything. But if the purslane is good in June, is it also good in August?
It is. Purslane doesn't get bitter like some of the other plants when they get older. So purslane stays delicious at all times. It, you know, it can get maybe just a little thicker and maybe a little tougher, but not even that much, because purslane stays somewhat succulent and juicy all year round. And what I find is that as it gets older, I might just, instead of eat it as fresh in a salad, chopping it up, I might blend it into a soup or make a cracker out of it. Or,
ooh, I love that idea. Would you put it into cracker dough?
Yeah, I would. I make crackers, and because it's, well, incredibly nutritious. It actually has more omega-3 fatty acids than any other vegetable and even fish. So it's an incredible food. But you can blend it up, and then it adds this gelatinous quality that helps the cracker bind together.
That, yeah, and the truth is, like, if no one had pointed out to me how delicious it was, and it was my husband who was a chef in a farm-to-table restaurant in Brooklyn, I never would have thought to eat it. But it is. It's like eating like almost like a mini aloe or something. Like, it has this delicious water quality and this like succulent cactus quality. I really, really love it.
Right, a little bit lemony, but not too tart. It's really nice.
So the book is The Wild Wisdom of Weeds, and it is out now, correct?
Correct,
published by Chelsea Green. And it's filled with recipes for cooking all of these things. And is there, let me ask you one other question. Are there resources? I mentioned the farmer's market where I know you can get dandelion greens and purslane. Are there resources for some of these other weeds that people could get if they couldn't find them in their own backyard? Like,
this is just a little side note, but if you buy the book directly from the Turtle Lake Refuge website, we'll send you the 13 wild weed seeds that you could plant yourself.
I love that. So listeners, that's how you should go about getting this book. And tell the website one more time.
The website is turtlelakerefuge.org.
And you guys then get 100% of the profits, I assume, as well.
Yeah, or, you know, right. Exactly. We get more of the profits that way, for sure.
Right.
And that's wonderful. Yeah.
Katrina,
okay,
thank you.
Okay, 100% of the profits.
As in, you don't have to share them with someone who's going to promise you marketing and all of that.
That's right. No, the middle person is kind of not there. Right. It's just more direct.
That is absolutely wonderful. I wish I could make it out for Dandelion Festival. That sounds like a really great time. And I will say, when I was a kid, my father tried to make dandelion wine, and it was a terrible disaster. But I'll encourage him to try it again. I remember everyone. I was not old enough to partake, but I remember everyone standing around in the kitchen drinking this. It looked like iced tea, and they just were underwhelmed by how I think the expectations were way higher than the outcome.
Yeah, I've had that experience too. That's funny.
Thank you.
I've also had some really good dandelion wine too.
So is there a secret to making really good dandelion wine?
Well, I'm not the best person to tell you that secret.
Just lots of practice, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Katrina Blair, thank you so much for coming on Sharp and Hot. It was really great to talk to you, and enjoy Colorado.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Have a great day. Have a good spring.
You too.
It's coming. Okay.
Next week on the show, we have a chef and a cookbook author from the Hamptons that I'm very excited to talk to, because that is where I grew up, and I'm excited to talk about the taco place one of the restaurants in the restaurant group is called La Fondita Tacos, and it's in East Hampton, or maybe Amagansett, sort of right on the line. And over the summer, I was there with my husband and my son, and we saw Paul McCartney eating tacos, And I really wanted to frame a photograph of James with Paul McCartney over his shoulder so it looked like Paul McCartney was photobombing my kid. But then I realized Paul McCartney was just like an old geezer eating his tacos, and I couldn't bring myself to do it because I wanted him to feel like he was being left alone. And if I ever get to be as famous as a Beatle and I'm 80 eating my tacos, I just want people to leave me alone. But the chef of that restaurant will be here, and we're very excited to welcome them. And let's see, don't forget to go to sharpandhot.com and heritageradionetwork.com, where you can get tickets to Leite's birthday party, which is on Monday, March 30th. I will be there, and the special code is HRNINSIDER, and I just learned that'll get you 20% discount on tickets. Until next week, everybody, thanks for listening, and keep playing with fire and knives.
Sharp and hot with Chef Family. Sharp and hot with Chef Family.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.